Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it cost all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, I pray that we would long for wisdom, that we would grow a deep desire and love and longing for Jesus. Lord, I pray this passage will show us that that is what we need to make our lives about. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said when I was there with the teaching slot, I wonder what you would have put on that table. I wonder what is worth everything for you. As I said, I doubt many of us would say understanding, although perhaps at my secondary school, Wilson's, I could imagine that motto would be quite appropriate. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. By that, they would be thinking, get the best grades you can. But clearly, this can't be what it means. It can't be that the Bible is just telling us, go out and be clever. Go out and put your nose in a book and study. Wisdom here is something more, something else. And that is why wisdom is worth everything. So as I look through this passage, I'm going to look at a few of the themes it picks out. And that is my first one I want to bring out. Wisdom is worth everything. We see this in verses 4 to 9. Get wisdom, get understanding, verse 5. Do not forsake wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, verse 7. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding, this is not just a kind of, the person writing the Proverbs here is not just making a sort of academic appeal or a kind of, you know, this is something that would be a good idea. This is a heartfelt, passionate desire for the people reading this to know that they need to get wisdom. It's kind of personified in this, and this woman, love her and she'll watch over you. Cherish her. Cherish, it's a precious word. Cherish is something that I said in my wedding vows. It's not a kind of a kind of ignoring or a kind of cold-hearted. It's a tenderness. It's a love. It's a desire to have. It's a referring to something that's so precious. We want to care with it with all we have. But why is wisdom worth anything? Why is the person writing Proverbs telling us that we need to seek, to long for, to cherish, to pursue with everything we have, to focus, to get wisdom? Well, it is because in wisdom in the Bible is pointing us to the person who was infinitely wise. It is pointing us to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read this passage from Colossians 2, just the two verses, 2 and 3, and it says this. This is Paul writing. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know, so what do we need to know? The mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, if we want to be wise, if we want to be wise in what by what the Bible calls wisdom, we will be pursuing Christ. Because he shows us everything God is like. He has all the treasure. See, again, that treasure. Treasure is a word of value. We're told to cherish wisdom. Why? Because it is treasure. It is valuable. It is more valuable than anything else. Christ is worth everything. He is worth pursuing with everything we have. Our proverb is pointing us to that. But why, you might say, why are you exhorting me, Harry, to pursue, to chase after Jesus with everything I have? Why is it worth pursuing him, gaining the understanding and wisdom that he has? Well, it's my second point. So we had wisdom is worth everything. Wisdom brings life and glory. Wisdom brings life and glory. Now, this is an interesting phrase that comes up quite a lot in this passage. So verses 8 to 9, she will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Something about wisdom, and you can imagine sort of finishing a race. Obviously, you get a medal at the Olympics now, but you would maybe get a garland or a crown. That's kind of a glorious moment. Verse 4, take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. It's about life here for wisdom. Hold on to instruction, do not let it go, guard it well, for it is your life. Again, verse 22, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's body. Now, the Proverbs, in some respect, give us an idea of what it's like to live in God's world, and in some respect, if we just took wisdom at face value, we thought about wisdom from an earthly perspective, we would say, yeah, I can sort of see what you're saying there. You know, it's wise to eat your five a day. It's wise to do some exercise. And normally, that may lead to health and to life. But we do know this, that isn't always true. Earthly wisdom can't always promise those things. So why is it that the person writing the Proverbs can promise us that gaining wisdom, gaining understanding, brings life? Well, once again, if we understand wisdom as Jesus Christ, it makes sense. Again, we come to Colossians 3, verse 3 and 4. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. That's Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4. Jesus is our life. When it says hidden with Christ in God, it doesn't mean that it's sort of, I can't find it. It doesn't mean hidden in the sense as someone playing hide and seek. It just means protected, secure. See, if we are a follower of the Lord Jesus, then our life is now protected with Christ. And that means we can have confidence then when Christ appears again, who is our life, it's kind of as if we're with him, it's hidden in him, protected in him. appears, then we also will appear in life and in glory. Hebrews talks about running the race and receiving the crown of glory, the glory of being with Christ as one of his people. As a follower of Jesus, sorting with everything we have, we find that wisdom, knowing Jesus, brings us life forever and glory one day. See, this is biblical wisdom. It is wisdom that points us to Christ. It is wisdom that seeks to know Christ above all else. So this is my first. This one is slightly larger as it takes up a larger part of the passage. But remember that wisdom is worth everything. It's worth pursuing everything with Jesus, with everything we have. And wisdom brings life and glory. In Christ, we have a new life. And one day we will appear with him in his glory. But there's this, point three. Wisdom walks in righteous obedience. Righteous in being right with God. Again, we see this quite clearly in our passage. In fact, we're going to look first at the two paths. So you read, if you were listening, you would have heard. Make sure you don't walk with the wicked, but walk with in the way that is right. Turn away from evil. The path of righteousness is like the morning sun. It is light. Verse 8:19, the way of the wicked is deep darkness. It is away from God. It is dark. The way of the wicked is restless. They cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. No, you might say, well, some wicked do sleep well. But there is a sense of a lack of satisfaction, a lack of finding what we're made to be, which is to know God, a lack of a kind of a restless search for something to do. The way of the wicked is deep darkness. It is away from the light of the Lord. And he's saying, basically, make sure, watch what path you're on. Give careful thought, verse 26, to the path of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. He's warning us to think about which path we're on. See, there is two paths in Matthew 7. We had that passage read to us. But Jesus in Matthew 7 before speaks of two paths. The wide gate, the path to destruction, and the narrow gate, the path to life. Now, the problem we all have is we all start on the path to destruction. As people who have turned away, broken God's rules, we are walking the way of the wicked. Again, the wicked here doesn't just mean those who do evil, but those who have gone away from God. When the Bible talks about fools, it doesn't necessarily mean someone who is silly or daft or is easily tricked. But a fool is someone who has turned away from God, who does not acknowledge God and his ways. He does not acknowledge Jesus as their Lord. And so all of us are starting on that path, but thanks to Christ, through Christ, we can go on the path to life. We can start walking in the light, in the path that is like the morning sun. In John 1, Jesus is referred to as the light that gives way to the light that breaks through the darkness. So for us, we need to think about this. Where am I? Am I still without Jesus? Am I still walking that path of the wicked, restless? Am I still walking in darkness without God? See, that path ends in destruction. But am I searching? Am I searching for the wisdom? I can tell you where the wisdom is. I can tell you where the path of life is. It is found in Jesus. Am I searching for Jesus? Am I coming to Jesus? Am I going to walk along his path? See, Jesus is life. The path of righteousness is a path of following Jesus. It is a path that is marked by obedience. I don't know if you heard it. It was repeated quite a lot. The person writing the proverb says this. Listen, my sons, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. Verse 10. Listen, my son, accept what I say. Verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Wisdom is marked by obedience, by listening, by listening to what the Lord says. Now that may be, in this case, we have the idea of passing down. We have the Father passes to the Son, who passes to his children. We have the idea of wisdom about the Lord Jesus being passed through the generations. It may be we know someone, it may be our parents, it may be a good friend who is like that, who has passed the wisdom of Christ down through us, that we've listened to them. It may be that we've spent time with someone who looks at the Bible with us and points us to Christ, that person who is passing wisdom down. And I only encourage you here that if you know the Lord Jesus, this is quite an illustration I had. Don't be a pond, be a river. Don't be someone who takes all the, who pursues Jesus, takes all that knowledge of Jesus, who learns all about Jesus and sit there like a pond holding on to it. Be someone like a river who has all the knowledge of Jesus flowing through them but is looking to pass it on to someone else. See, passing on Jesus to someone is the best thing we can do. It's life. It brings life to them. The Lord can use that to shine a light into their hearts. It's amazing. But secondly, so we see that there's a sense of with the passing on. This is the obedience of passing on the wisdom. But it is important that we listen to Christ as well. We listen and obey what he says to do. Again, in Matthew 7, we had that thing about the wise men building their house upon the rock. Now, I immediately want to start singing the song. Wise men, I won't do it because it's horrible. But I immediately sing the song. And as I sing it, I sort of don't really think about why that person is wise, apart from the fact he built his house on a rock, which I was going to say is just a pretty smart move. But I don't know if you were listening to the first part of that passage, Matthew 7:24. Why is it that person is wise building their house on the rock? What is that a picture of? Well, it's a picture of this. Everyone who hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, if you are seeking to be wise, wise in God's eyes, then you'll be seeking to obey what the Lord Jesus instructs us. You'll be seeking to know what that is and to walk on that path. By his help, you'll be seeking to push away wickedness, to not step on that path, and to continue on the path of righteousness, the path of following what Jesus tells us to do. The path that is a little bit like, I think, a little bit like Simon says. What Jesus says, we do. And as we walk on that path, we find life. So that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is worth everything. Wisdom leads to life. And if you want to know who's wise, look for the person who obeys Jesus. That is how we know someone is wise. If you want wisdom, ask yourself, how can I obey Jesus? How can I live for him? There are some, I want to look at a couple more instructions the Proverbs give us. These are things that this proverb instructs us to do. We have guard your heart, verse 23. In fact, there's this whole sense of guarding, of focus, of let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, as if the blinkers were on like a thoroughbred racehorse. That your focus, your point you're aiming for is the Lord Jesus, running forward for him. There's a sense of fighting, of guarding, of making sure my heart is not taken captive. I'm holding a shield here. Just imagine there's a Roman shield here. I'm holding a shield here. I'm not letting the world take me captive. I'm fighting against what comes at me. I'm guarding my heart. In verse 13, we have as well, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well. Guard the instruction I'm receiving. Make sure I get it. For it is your life. Why do these things matter? Why is my heart? Why is it so important that that I protect myself from those things? Well, this is it. It matters what goes in. Because what normally happens is what goes in eventually comes out. Well, I was thinking about food for a moment there, sorry. But what goes in eventually comes out and is seen again. And it's the same with kind of the idea of what goes into our hearts. You can tell a tree by its fruit, John tells us. See, if we spend hours watching, reading, listening, and discussing things not about Christ, then of course, slowly but surely, we're going to start to believe those things are good and right and true. We're going to believe that if we spend, I noticed this myself, and I was talking to someone about this, that when I end up in an environment, so when I'm around my friends, I need to guard my heart. Now, my friends swear a bit more than I do, and again, I don't want to do that. I want to be careful what I say. But as soon as I'm in that environment and suddenly the swearers start firing off, immediately my brain starts to almost instinctively think, oh, I might just swear now. I'm surrounded by it. I hear it day in, day out. And so suddenly my mind is thinking, that's normal, that's good, that's what I do. I start disbelieving what the Bible says about watching what I say, and the effects are there. Similarly, you may have found this in your life at times when, we found it with Benjamin, we started doing stuff like our parents. And what's happened was, obviously, we grew up around our parents. They taught us everything. They taught us what we did. We watched them. We were constantly surrounded by them. And so, of course, we sort of absorbed some of their information, and then it started to come out again. This may be good or bad. I was thinking about school as well. Some of the challenges of being in my school environment start to come out again later in life. I don't know if you can think of an environment, a place you were, and you think, I know that that had an effect on me. I know that hearing those things, listening to those things, I know that that changed me a little bit. I know that started to affect me. See, we need to guard our heart. We need to have that shield up. When I'm with my friends, I need to put my shield up. Not to like ignore them, or not to talk to them, or not to engage with them, but to watch my heart. Because it matters. It really matters. There is life on the path of righteousness. I'm going to come back to this. I said get it with all you have. So I'm going to look at what it means to get wisdom. So seeing that we guard our heart, I mean to get wisdom. Get Jesus. Now, I was reading a book and it said this. If we don't know something, it will have no influence over us. The more we know something, the more it influences us. And I was thinking about the Olympics. I like the Olympics. And some sports I know something about, and so they're fun to watch. Some sports I know a lot about, and they're really fun to watch. And some sports I know very little about, and they're not so fun to watch. I may watch them because they're Olympics. For me, it's dressage. I'm sure some of you know a lot about dressage, and I'm sorry that I know very little. But when I watch it, I don't know the English team particularly, British team particularly well, so I don't know that much about their lives, and so I'm not that interested in them. The horses do things, and the commentators applaud them, but I don't know what the words mean. So I'm not applauding them, because I don't know what that is or why it's good. I don't know how difficult it is either, so I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, you know, maybe I could do that if I sat on a horse. I couldn't. I'd fall off. But I know nothing about it, and so my appreciation of it is very low. I'm sure if you guys are interested in the Olympics or interested in anything, there's some things that feel a bit like that. You don't know anything about them. They don't have any influence on you. Some things you know a little bit about, and some things you know a lot about. So like, I like the cycling. I know the team. We know the team quite well. I know a little bit about it. It's incredible. It's amazing. The World Cup at the moment, again, that's having a profound influence at the moment because I know a lot about it. I spend a lot of time being interested in it. But see, if we don't know or pursue or look after or look to Jesus very often, then of course his influence is going to be quite low in our life. It's going to be like dressage. You know, okay, sometimes he's nice to think about every so often. You sort of think, oh, that's interesting. It's nice when lots of people are watching it and you sort of, yeah, but it doesn't much influence. Well, think about it like this. Imagine you have a friend. You see this friend for about 20 minutes a week. That's it. 20 minutes a week, you have a chat, maybe you have a lunch. What's your chances of seeking to go to them for advice on a difficult matter? They're just a lunchtime, 20-minute person. Probably not. They say something, not that much influence. They don't know you that well. You don't know much about them. It's not very interesting. But imagine you had a weekly evening catch-up as well. So you saw them once for 20 minutes and you had an evening catch-up. Okay, so they know, you know a bit more about them. You start to listen to what they say. Suddenly, this friend becomes more important in your life. You're making time for them. Imagine if you added onto that, you added a daily 20 minutes together. Perhaps every morning you had your morning coffee with them. You were listening to them, engaging with them. They were helping you, instructing you, telling you. Surely their influence is going to rise. You're going to think, wow, yeah, okay, this person is worth listening to. And the same is true for Jesus and this wisdom. See, it says wisdom is worth everything. To get it is life. And so we need to pursue it. If we expect it to have an influence, if we expect Christ to be the center of our lives, then we need to pursue him with all we have. If we want to know what it means to live as a follower of the Lord Jesus in this world, then we need to know who it is we're following. So how are we going to do that? I'm just going to end with some, I think, practical ways to do that. Number one, we can listen. I think that's in the car. You can get talks. So you can get on the internet, you can get cassette, or no, not cassette, we've passed that. CD, you get CDs, I think, still, maybe. Even that, we might pass that soon. You can get CDs of the Bible. I guarantee it won't be that expensive for you to get an audio copy of the Bible. You can plug in and you can listen to it when you drive. You might be able to, if you're a bit more, if you know a bit more about how technology and how to work things, you might have an MP3 way you can do. You could download a talk off the Keswick Convention. I quite like doing that. If I have a 45 minute drive or longer, I think, oh, I'll get a talk. Listen to a series. If it's 45 minutes there and back, I'm already 2 out of 5 through the series. That's not bad. Getting there. So I'm listening, learning about the Lord Jesus, getting that understanding about him. Perhaps you may be someone who likes to read. Why don't you change 15 minutes of your reading a day, whatever you're reading at the moment, to a book about the Lord Jesus? First of all, it may just be you want to start with reading a bit of his word a bit more regularly, making sure you're following the Proverbs reading plan we got given. Perhaps it might be you want to add another book, a book on that. And I want to tell you this, that in 15 minutes you can accomplish a lot. I read this on online. It said this. Suppose you read about 250 words a minute, maybe a bit less, and that you resolve to devote yourself just 15 minutes a day to serious theological reading, or even any reading about Jesus, to deepen your understanding of Bible truths. In 1 year, you would read for 5,475 minutes. Multiply that times 250 words per minute, and you get 1,368,750 words per year. Now, most books have between 300 and 400 words per page, but I know many books that have less than that. So if we take 350 words per page and divide that into 1,368,750,000 words per year, I'm not doing this in my head, we get 3,910 pages per year. This means that at 250 words a minute, 15 minutes a day, you could read about 20 average-sized books a year, or 40 small books a year about Jesus. See, Jesus is life. Jesus is worth everything. Walking in the way of the righteous brings great joy and hope. It is like light. It's like a morning sun. It shines brighter every day until one day we see the full light of being with Jesus again. I cannot encourage you or ask you more than this. Pursue Jesus. Maybe make that your kind of your verse for this next summer holidays. Get wisdom, get understanding. Or how about this, maybe this one, you might want to have, get wisdom though it costs you everything you have. Get Jesus. He is life. Without him we walk the path of destruction. If you want to know life and joy, pursue Jesus. If you want to walk in obedience to him, pursue Jesus. At any cost, it is worth it to know the Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Lord, we are instructed in this passage to seek you above all else. We're called to run to you, to know you, to walk in your ways, to be wise according to the Bible, to walk in obedience to you. And Lord, we cannot do this without your help. We cannot do this without you stirring our hearts. So Lord, stir our hearts to long for you, to have a deep desire to know more, to be willing to make the effort to know you, to deepen that relationship. Because Lord, you are life. You are joy. You are like the morning sun. It's getting brighter and brighter until one day we're with you. Lord, help us to seek you. In Jesus' name, amen.